Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have a great show for you. It's a phenomenal individual that's going to share some super information that's going to help you with your business, with your success, with all of those things. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have Ms. Janet Ford. Ms. Janet A. Ford is the owner and proprietor of her own business, and again, is helping a lot of people to grow and to discover their true self. So with that said, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm always all right, so I can do better, and I keep talking to people like you, and I'm going to find that success I'm looking for.
Okay.
All right, so could you do us a favor, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then take it away.
Okay. Well, I'm Janet Ford, and I am with Leadership with Purpose and Passion, and my focus is on training and development for first-time supervisors and managers. I've been in the managerial and leadership roles for over 20 years, and it's something that I've always been passionate about people, passionate about development, and passionate about helping people reach their fullest potential. I believe that that is one of the greatest gifts that any leader could give to their employees. And so Leadership with Purpose and Passion was founded on that premise, and I have numerous topics that I share in workshops and one-on-one, and in many other venues, and I look forward to talking with the audience today on a topic that's actually very common, however, misused in a lot of ways. So we're going to have a brief discussion on You've Got Email, which is how to write effective email messages. And so if you're ready, I can go ahead and get started.
I'm ready because a lot of us need help in that subject.
Okay. All right. So first I want to thank you once again, Zurian, for having me on the show today. Also, I thank the listening audience, as always, for taking the time to tune in as well. You are welcome to call in and provide any comments at the end of the session. We actually encourage you to do that. It adds value to the overall show itself. So let's go ahead and get started. We are all aware that our global business culture today is now corresponding through email. And that has actually replaced the routine telephone conversations, our face-to-face interactions, and it has become actually the number one form of communication in the modern work environment. As a result of the email capacity and the increase in usage, the world has now become even smaller and closer than ever before. And the interaction between cultures and the world overall has forever changed. It will never be the same again. However, with any change comes challenges and the need to set boundaries on what is acceptable or unacceptable, what's professional or inappropriate, and email writing is actually no different. In fact, in the business world, emails are now considered official documents, and they are now retained as such for future use whenever needed. Deals are either won or lost now through email transactions. Individuals are hired and released with just a tap of a few keystrokes these days. And the notes of appreciation or reprimand are common personnel practices conducted via email today. Whether right or wrong or indifferent, this is going on in our workplaces, actually all across the world. So unfortunately, the widespread use of email has generated a widespread abuse in all levels of any organizational structure. You have CEOs of large corporations writing emails to subordinates that a lot of times are unprofessional or not appropriate, and this is not a good thing in the workplace, and it does not set a positive example for their employees. So as a result of all of these things that have been happening with email on the scene in the business world, training on the proper use of email and email etiquette is in very high demand today, and it is needed. I've talked to numerous people in small businesses, mid, large-sized companies, and there is a problem with email messaging all across the board. So what we'll do for the next few minutes is that we're going to discuss a few points for writing effective email messages. So let's go ahead and get started because I want to make sure I get it all in for you. So let's talk about the basic spelling and grammar. There's two words. It matters. The texting has actually caused us to develop bad habits in writing because now we abbreviate everything. We use one letter for, like, yes is just the letter Y, or N is just the letter N, the letter N is for no, and so on and so forth. And texting on our mobile phones now is such a fad now, until there are times people actually have forgotten how to spell because they text so much. So when you bring that over into the workplace in your emails, then you don't spell. And you don't bother to use spell check, even though it's right there, because you assume that the person on the other end knows exactly what you're talking about. Well, maybe so. However, there has to be a boundary between the workplace and when you're out in a social setting, or you're at home, or you're talking to your kids, or whomever. So the workplace, there is a need for correct spelling and grammar. The use of capitalization and punctuating properly is also very, very important, because poor spelling and grammar is two things. Number one, in the workplace, it shows a lack of attention to detail. It means you haven't paid attention, you're not looking at what you're writing, and you're just writing something. And it doesn't matter who you're writing it to. It's that a lot of times we're too busy, or we want to hurry up and get this message out, or we're distracted by a lot of different things, and we end up not paying attention to the detail. The second thing it does is that it sends the wrong message about you and how you do business. People look at what you send them and will formulate an opinion of you, whether you believe that or not. For an example, if you are sending out an email for an important meeting and that email has misspelled words, you are sending a message to the receiver, and it's not a good message. So those are the two things as far as spelling and grammar. They do matter when you send out an email message. So let's move on. So what about this CC colon and BCC colon, which is very interesting, because sometimes people only look at the two column, the two, and then they'll address everybody in that one column. And the next thing you know, all you're hearing is all these whispers in the workplace. I can't believe they sent that email. Oh, my God, do you know who they sent it to? And so on and so forth. There are reasons for those two additional columns or lines that are on your email. So let's just talk about those briefly, just as a refresher for those that already know, and a little bit of awareness for those that just may not. So the carbon copy, the CC colon. So what that is that it is a courtesy column to add addresses in the field if the addressee needs to know about the subject, but are not required to act on the content of the subject. So if the person that needs to know the information is on the two line, you may also address someone on the CC line that may need to know about the information, but you're not expecting a response from them. So basically, it's just an awareness. It's an awareness line. Now, the BCC is called blind carbon copy, and this field is useful where discretion is necessary. I'll say that again, where discretion is necessary. Because in this field, the addressees are all concealed from other recipients that are in the two field, in the CC field, and also in the BCC field. So basically, what they can see is that they can see themselves, but they can't see who the two who was sent, who the person that was in the main two field and the CC fields. But those that are in the BCC field only see their own name. So if you needed to send a message to someone, but you didn't want them to know about the messages sent to anybody else, then you would put all the addressees in the BCC field. For example, if you're going to send out a, I'll say for instance, I'll use myself as a flyer, and I had 100 addressees. I am not going to put 100 addressees in the two field because I am not going to want them to know everybody that I sent the message to. I'm going to put everybody in the BCC field because when they get the email, they will only get their name only, and they will not know who else I sent the message to. So that's an example of the use of the BCC. So let's move on. Let's talk about the subject line or the subject line for a moment. The subject line is actually your headline. Your subject line should grab your attention and tell what the message is about. You use a very few but well-chosen words to identify an email content. If this message is a regular series of emails, such as a weekly report that's included in the subject line, you can actually just include a weekly report for whatever the date is. And that would give let the person know that this is a weekly report for this particular date, and that lets them know what's in that email, and then they may or may not have to open it right away. The one thing that you never do is that you never leave the subject line blank, because now the person receiving the email is looking at, okay, what is this about? And they may, in fact, delete something that they really needed. Okay. Now, there is something that I found that I thought was really, really useful that I actually had never used before, and it's called the EOM. EOM means end of message. And this is kind of like a really cool technique, and I don't know if a lot of people are aware of it or actually have actually used it. So when you have a very short message to convey and you only want to send the subject line and not have anything in the body, you actually can state it in the subject line. And then at the end of the message, you put the letters E-O-M, and you capitalize the three. And so this lets the recipient know that they don't have to open the email, and all the information is on the subject line of the message. So, for example, if I was going to send a message to somebody to meet me downstairs, and I wanted to send a quick email to them, in the subject line, I could put, meet me downstairs at noon, period, and then put E-O-M. They would see that when I sent the email, they would see the email, they would see the subject line, the end of message, the E-O-M lets them know that there is nothing else in the message and they never have to open it. So that's kind of a really kind of cool technique, and I've used that before, and it was funny because people were like, what's E-O-M? What is that? So I would get another message back because they didn't understand what it was. So I'm giving you a little bit of a tidbit there. Now, let's talk about... Say again?
I said I never heard of that myself. So EOM.
I know.
EOM
no, it was,
for again?
It's a really interesting technique, and it saves a whole lot. It saves a lot of time and a lot of writing too. All right, so let's talk about the body of an email message, and I have a few points here because the body we tend to some of us are very very short in our messages. Some of us want to write a dissertation. And we want to give the what, why, how, when, and where, and all those different things. But when you're sending an email message, we have to remember that most of the time in the workplace, people are busy. And they really don't have time to read 2, 3, 4 paragraphs of information because you're really trying to explain or really trying to get your point across. So these pointers are going to help us to narrow it down, get to the point, give them what they need, and then move on. So the first one, as far as a maximum in an email, there should never be no more than 4 or 5 short paragraphs per message. Any larger than that, you need to send in an attachment. So 4 or 5 short paragraphs, and a short paragraph is no more than 2 or 3 lines each. So if you feel that you have more to say, then you need to put it in a Word document, put it in an attachment, and send it along with the email. The second thing is, always write a separate email on each subject. We are really good at about trying to put 2 and 3 subjects in one email, and then when the person needs to go back and refer to that email, they can't find it because on the subject line, you have one subject, but down in the body of the email, now you have 2 or 3 other subjects, and it's something that they're looking for, but they'll never find it because it's embedded in an email that actually was titled something else. So you always want to write a separate email on each subject. The correspondent then can reply to each one individually and in the appropriate time frame. You will also get clearer answers and assist the other person in managing their inboxes as well and managing yours because now you can even file things a lot better. If you're trying to put multiple subjects in an email, how are you going to file it so that you can find it later? It makes it difficult, almost impossible. If you're sending several points, present each point in a separate numbered paragraph. So if you are sending an email and you need to write 3 or 4 short paragraphs, make sure that the points for each paragraph are very clear and that each of the paragraphs are separated, and then number them or put a bullet on them so that then they know that, okay, this is subject 1, subject 2, subject 3, and et cetera. So also in email messages, each individual email should be clear and concise, quick and simple to communicate. Very, very simple. Not long, not drawn out, but very clear and concise. Always, always use proper English. Avoid slang language. Slang language is not universal. Slang language can actually be offensive to some people in the workplace. Avoid using slang language. The purpose of the message should always be detailed in the very first paragraph. A person should not have to read your message and at the very bottom you finally get to the point. Always put the point up first. Whatever it is you're asking for, whatever action you want done, always put it in the very first paragraph of the messages. Sentences should be kept short and to the point, as I said before, and the body of the email should contain all pertinent information. A person should not have to send you 2 or 3 emails to get all the information that you're trying to give them. Make sure all the pertinent information is there. For example, I'll simplify it. If you're setting up a lunch meeting, that means that the date should be in there, the time should be in there, the location should be in there. if you can, as far as how people are going to get to the location and back, what's the topic, all of those things should be in the same email. So that then once they ask questions, now you're not bantering back and forth, back and forth. So now a little bit about internal email. Internal emails are a lot of times in an office place from one coworker to another. We actually break it down even further. We actually get more informal because we know them, and they know us, or presumably so. But internal emails should never be too informal because you're still in the workplace. Regardless of whether you work with that person 5 years or 20 years, you're still in the workplace. And when you send an email in the workplace, it's really not your email. And we have to really, really remember that. Emails are a written form of communication that can be printed out and viewed by people other than those for whom they are originally intended. And in a lot of workplaces today, because of the issue with inappropriate email messages, and people have really caused a lot of issues in the workplace, there is a way that they can actually record and review every single email that comes across your work computer. So you want to be very, very, very careful in how and what you put in your emails. Now, let's talk about your responses. Sometimes we'll send an email and it's like, okay, they really did not get what I was asking. And that's because you may not have been specific enough. So when you write an email and you are expecting a response, specify the response that you want. So you would include any call to action you want, such as a phone call or a follow-up appointment by a certain date or time. You include your contact information, including your name, your title, and your phone number. And why do you do that? Because when you are specifying the response that you want, then when you get the email back, then 9 times out of 10, there will be no need for you to send another email to that individual because they didn't understand what you were asking. And that happens quite a bit. Actually, I have a quick short example. I had in a workplace that I was in recently, I was trying to schedule a conference room. And I provided the date, the time, when I needed the conference room. I provided all the information I thought that the person needed. Well, I received another email back stating that the conference room would not be available because of a prior meeting. And I sent a message back, yes, but if you look at the date and time, I don't believe that this is going to be an issue. I received another email back, and with another response, I had to then also send another email back to the individual. And finally, I got frustrated, and I said, okay, this is not working. And I picked up the phone, and I called them. And once I called them and then provided what I really wanted, then I was able to resolve that issue. But as you can see that, even though I thought I was specific, I was not clear enough for the receiver to understand. So therefore, we had this going back and forth, which wasted probably about 20 or 30 minutes. So specify the response that you want in the email that you send. Now, a lot of people ask, you know, is a signature really needed? And the answer is yes. A signature should be in every single email. It should be attached to every outgoing message that you send. In the workplace, it should include your title, if you have one. It should include your contact information. And then any other relevant information, i.e. confidentiality statement or anything else that is normally tagged on to the end of emails in your business or organization. And why is that? So that the person, number one, if they need to coordinate and talk with you in reference to the message you sent, then they have a direct contact. And then sometimes, like I had to do, sometimes they need to just pick up the phone and talk to you. So having that information available right in the email is very, very convenient. One of the things that I've always had a little pet peeve about in email in the workplace is when you send emails and you don't get a response. You don't get a timely response. Or you're waiting and you wait and you wait and you don't get a response at all. So my thing is that I believe that everybody should be a good correspondent. Number one, you regularly go through your inbox, and then you respond appropriately. This really is a simple act of courtesy and will always serve to encourage others to reply to your emails in a timely manner. Any emails that are requiring a detailed response and you don't have time to respond, send a holding reply basically advising the person receiving the message that you received it, and that a response will be coming shortly. That lets the person know, you know what, I'm busy right now, I really can't respond to your email, but I've got it, and I will get back to you shortly. So now that person is not sitting around twiddling their thumbs, wondering, okay, did they get the email, or are they ignoring me, or my goodness, okay, I'm wondering if I said the right thing, all of those different things, because our minds kind of go crazy when we're waiting for a response and then we never get it. So always send a reply or response when you have an email, even when you don't have time to address the issues within the email. It's good common courtesy. Now, one of the things that in our busy world in the workplace that we always have to try to work to do is try to avoid interrupting a task you're working on to check email. Because what happens is that now you're divided, you're distracted, you don't give the attention to the mail, you don't give attention to the task at hand, and it causes a lot of problems. So try to avoid that. And then lastly, always set your out-of-office agent on when you're away from your email for a day or more. Two reasons. One is that it lets the person know that's expecting a response that you're not in. And secondly, then it's a courtesy so that people don't sit and wait for you to respond and then they don't know why. I see that our time is actually running a little fast here because I had quite a bit. So let me just briefly, I'm going to talk just a little bit. When not to use email. And I think this is really, really, really important. There's four main things as far as times when you really should not use email. Number one is when you're going to fire somebody or you're going to release somebody. This displays a lack of respect for the individual and their contributions that they have made to your company or organization. It's a very cold and very potentially damaging to a person's reputation when you do that. It's just something that you should not do. If you're going to fire somebody, you're going to let somebody go, that should be done in person, not through the email. Secondly, if you have an urgent message, if you have an urgent message for someone, don't send it through the email and assume that they're going to get and answer it immediately. Because if an immediate response is required, you want to make sure that they have it. So phone calls or personal visits work much better for an urgent or time-sensitive request. Thirdly, private information. When discussing private or confidential information, do it in person. A leak of sensitive information can be damaging to a company, and then whoever leaks the email, accidentally or not, can suffer career-changing consequences. Anything that is private in your company or anything that is private as far as meetings or anything that's going on, it's better not to put it in an email because if that email gets read by the wrong person, gets accidentally sent, somebody puts an address in the CC field that should not have been there, anything, So if it's private and it's of ultimate sensitivity, don't put it in an email. Talk face-to-face. And lastly, complex thoughts. When conveying a complicated thought or a complicated strategy or something that requires a lot of thought and a lot of dialogue between two people, don't put it in the email, because then you're going to have that email that's got all those pages all the way down to the end, and people aren't going to read it anyway. So whenever you have something of that nature, then it's better to sit down and have a meeting one-on-one with the person or the group versus trying to get all that information in an email message. So I will stop right here because I see that our 30 minutes is just about up, and I will stop to see if anybody out there has any comments or questions.
Well, I want to thank you for everything that you shared with us. That was awesome. Also, you definitely pointed some things out that I need to pay attention to. It's kind of funny. I just wrote a letter to a guy that's basically he's a billionaire. He's a friend of mine, and evidently I've got some adjusting to do to my email to him because I don't want to come off the wrong way. Great guy, though. But a whole lot of information, very priceless. I'm going to actually share it with quite a few people. But could you give everybody your contact information before we sign off, please?
Yes, absolutely. I am with www.lwpap.com. My email address is jford@lwpap.com. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. And just briefly, I do have some upcoming events. I am starting Stand Up and Lead Lunch training sessions every Thursday starting May 1st at the Residence Inn in Herndon. You can go to the website and sign up for that. And we're also starting a business writing and email etiquette workshop that's going to be held on May 7th at the Intellectual Point in Reston, Virginia. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show again, Zorain. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you sharing it with our presently 39,000-plus listeners, and again, great information is what we're here to try to provide everybody with. So ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to thank you, Ms. Janet A. Ford, for sharing your plethora of knowledge, and encourage anyone that's looking for assistance or has any questions to please get in contact with you so that they can learn more about what you do and how you can help them to become and show themselves to be the professionals that they truly are and want to be. So with that said, thank you again, Janet. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I hope that you enjoyed the show. And as always, we wish you much success. If you enjoy the show and think that others can find use in them, please share them with anyone and everyone who you think that can use this information. We truly appreciate it, and we wish you all, again, much success.